What's up, guys? TruckDriver101.com. Big Ken here. If you are new to trucking, you can go to YouTubeTruckers.com and get my audiobook. Now, in this one, I am going to talk about this podcast, my 10-year career. I'm going to start by stealing this idea directly from Jay Canal. Go to Jay Canal. He is the Jay-Z of trucking. He is one of, he's your truckers, he's a trucker vlogger, trucker vlogger. He is the, I can't think of the comedian's name who's like that. He's basically the Jay-Z of truck vlogging. Everybody loves Jay Canal, okay? He's the guru, he's the man, okay? He's the coolest dude in town. So, I'm stealing this idea. What Jay did, and I'll link it at the bottom of this video, or the, I'll give you a link on the podcast, but, what Jay did is that he did a video talking about when he first got into trucking. So I am going to steal that. But I'm going to be very honest about it and promote Jay so everybody understands this is stolen. This whole idea is stolen from Jay Canal. I stole this idea from Jay Canal. He is the guru, the genius. I want you to go check Jay out. He's funny. He's talking about precious metals lately. Follow him on Instagram. Right, Jay Canal, check him out. See, I try to show love. When you steal from somebody, you got to show a little love. You know what I mean? You got to show a little love. Okay, guys. So, pretty much when I started in trucking, it was 2005. 2004. It was about in February. I had gotten laid off from my second real job. And I was 24 years old. Wow, that's a long time ago. I was a young whippersnapper. And as a young whippersnapper, I had gotten sick of being a general labor. Like most young cats, I had learned how to cut meat, being working in a meat place. I got laid off from there and went to Disney World on vacation because I had planned to do that. And I decided, you know what, I'm going on vacation. And came back and had to figure out what to do because I was sick of general labor. And nothing was really popping. Nothing was really going. Nothing was really happening in Detroit. During that time, we kind of had that boom where everybody was buying a house and everybody was doing, you know, all types of stuff, you know, people buying houses, dudes opening up, you know, fix-it companies and loans are flowing out the door. And I decided I didn't want to be general labor anymore. So I started researching trucking. So what it led me to was a black guy who owned a trucking company. I think it was off of, I don't remember where that place was. But anyway, I called him. And talked to his secretary, and she was like, well, you know, you should come in for our seminar. You know, our seminar is just wonderful, honey. Our seminar is just magnificent. Oh, you should come in for our seminar. So, being a 24-year-old, I went in for the seminar. And because I didn't even research trucking schools or anything, I just jumped up and was like, hey, a trucking school's a trucking school, right? Like a fool, of course. So pretty much went there and pulled into the parking lot. Bunch of brothers and sisters all up in there. It's Detroit, you know. There's a couple Spanish cats in there. Some Arabs, you know, looking like Detroit. Everybody brown, beige, and beautiful. And there's a couple white. It was like maybe one or two white guys, but it's mostly black folks. And I'm kind of looking at it like, this don't look like trucking. Like, when you think of truck driver, you think of country. I kind of expected a white country kind of guy, you know. And I was like, well, yeah, it's Detroit. I guess, you know, you would have that. Like, because until I decided to become a truck driver, I really didn't look at people who were truck drivers. You know what I mean? I didn't stop and go, what do truck drivers look like? You know, I just went with the stereotype that they all country boys and they're all, you know, speak with a southern drawl. That's kind of what I expected. You know, my stepfather was a truck driver, and I still thought that way, which is funny. But anyway, went there. There's a bunch of black folks there and a couple of brown folks and everything. And we sitting all around waiting on this seminar. And the guy comes in, and you got to understand at this time there was a couple of layoffs from factories. So the unions had been shuffling people around to different union jobs. So he told us all about that, of course, first off the bat, you know. So we all hyped up. So how the meeting basically started, let's go back to that part. How it all started was he basically was like, look, you know, GM, Ford, and Chrysler had some shutdowns. They got these guys into car hauling at the time for a company called Casson Transportation. That's in Michigan. And the company called Casson Transportation basically fast-tracked these guys to get into trucks, because normally Casson doesn't take rookies, and they were basically rookies, and they got them in. And they were making, this is, you got to remember, this is 2004. This is before mandatory computer logs. So everybody's running paper logs, and we're also using the old hours of service. Now, the old hours of service, you could stop for 2 hours, stop your clock for 2 hours, stop your 14-hour clock for 2 hours, for those who don't know. You want to understand that, go online, look it up. I've talked about hours of service, but stop your 14-hour clock, taking a two-hour break, and then you could literally start it up afterwards. And I know that doesn't make sense if you haven't done trucking, but once you get into trucking, you'll understand how amazing that is. Now, that was back in the day. But so people were making money hand over fist because everybody was running illegal, okay? And the hours of service were really hard to understand. The original hours before the current hours we have now, they were really, really hard to understand back in 04. So nobody really knew what the hell the hours of service were. And people just ran what they ran. People had a general understanding, kind of. Now it's way better. But there were guys making money easily. You know, they were running illegal, you know, doing everything. I mean, some guys, you know, they were making $140,000, $150,000 a year. That's how illegal they were running. Okay, you legally, you can't really do that. But they were running illegal as hell. So anyway, he's telling us about that. He's not telling us, you know, they running illegal. You know, when I look back on it now, the only way they was making that hundred and something thousand was to run illegal. And afterwards, you know, he's like, you know, there's government programs. And I started to realize halfway through his whole spiel that really what he was doing was the government back then was trying to cut down on welfare, especially in the ghettos, in the hood, in the black community. And they was trying to cut down. And so they decided, you know, what we're going to do is get these people into truck driving because there's a big openings there. And that was a great idea. But of course, you know, there were companies like his company that was trying to take advantage of that. They were trying to get in as good as they could to take advantage of that situation. And the problem with trying to take advantage of that situation is that, you know, you end up with, you know, 6 months waiting for the government to approve you. You end up with deals that you'll have to pay for. You know, you'll pay for trucking school depending on whether you stick with the first company a year. And pretty much what he was doing was either signing you with a contract with the government or signing you a contract with a company. That was kind of screwed. But I started to realize this is probably not for me, but let me sit here and continue to gather information. So during his little speech and spiel, I don't remember it specifically, but he pretty much said that, you know, this is your opportunity. You can make as much money as you want. You can be as successful as you want. And there's no barrier. I mean, 4 or 8 weeks, I think it was like 4 weeks at his school or 8 weeks. He said, even if you don't go with us, you could probably be in a truck within 2 months. And you'll be making at least $40,000 a year. Now, that is not necessarily true because, of course, he didn't explain miles pay and everything. But, you know, it was a great spiel for people in that room who were coming off welfare, people who were leaving factories and had got laid off by GM and didn't have the seniority to get, you know, the hookups like many other guys got when some of them got laid off. You know, if you worked a year or 2 years at GM, Ford, or Chrysler, you kind of screwed if they do a layoff, you know. You don't have seniority. You know, you don't have that connection. Nobody's going to go out their way over at the plant down the street to get you in. You know, that's for the guys with 20-something years of experience and connections. So He basically ends the speech with telling us, you know, you need to be patient, fill out all these government forms, and we'll see what happens, and we'll call you back. It may take 3 months, it may take 4 months, it may take 5 months. During this time, I have no job. So I don't have 3 months, I don't have 4 months, I don't have 5 months. I think I was down to the last few months of my unemployment, and I had worked a job as cutting meat again, but they had dropped me because they hired somebody with experience, this chick who knew exactly how to cut meat way better than I did. And I was looking around the factory I was working at, the meat place, and it was just full of illegal immigrants, basically. And I was like, why am I doing this? I mean, it's just no money in it. It's like I'm arguing with people here. You know, it's just, it was literally the worst, one of the worst jobs I ever had. And it was just bullshit. So I start researching the guy who had filled out all the forms and all the government forms for. I started to look at the government forms they had given me. And pretty much, I would have ended up having to lie. You know, I would have ended up having to lie. And then also, from talking to his students, he wasn't dedicated to getting you in a truck. He was dedicated to getting you through that government program so he can get some money off your ass. He didn't seem to give a good goddamn whether you got in a B truck and was hauling for Home Depot, and that whole $40,000 a year thing wouldn't probably go together on that one, or hauling for, you know, Joe Blow somewhere hauling a B truck. So you could basically go train in a semi truck if you want, but I could tell when he was talking, he didn't have any patience for it. So I decided at that point I needed to go somewhere else. So I went to USA Truck Driver School, and they had a meeting there, and the recruiter was, y'all, he saw this 24-year-old fool and he had me, because the first thing he came out of his mouth was, "We got a simulator," and I just, a simulator? They've got a simulator. And I thought, that simulator, you know what the simulator is going to do, right? It's going to simulate trucking, and it didn't work worth a goddamn. In fact, 90% of the time, I used a simulator one time. Literally, I chose this school because he told me all about this simulator, how amazing it was, and how after 3 weeks in the simulator, that you could just be driving a truck, and it's going to be so realistic, and it's going to be so magnificent. And he gave me this spiel about how great it was and how magnificent it was. That thing broke down the first time somebody used it. I used it one time, then the next guy, it just broke. And it never, literally after 6 weeks I was there, I think, or 4 weeks I was there, it literally never worked the whole time. That was the biggest way. There was. It was all about the simulator. The biggest thing for me, though, when I went there was, when I went there, they basically financed you with a loan. And that is something I would actually recommend for you, because here's the thing about the loan. Even it's if you finish the trucking school, then you get a job, the loan was due. That's how it went. In other words, I didn't have to wait 3, 4, 5, 6 months. All I needed to do was submit my social security number and everything, and the loan was on me. I didn't require any family members to lie for me and say I'm paying them this amount of rent and all this little stuff. Because that whole government form was tricky. It was like you had to be damn near destitute to get the money. You had to be, you know, 50% of your money got to go here and 30% of your money got to go here. And it's like, nah, and the thing about them, USA Truck Driver School back then, again, this is back then, I'm not recommending them today, I don't know anything about the company today, I doubt any of the trainers that was there when I was there are there today. I mean, those dudes were in their 40s and 50s when I was there, so they gotta be damn near 60 years old. That was 10 years ago, but anyway, well, 11 years ago, but anyway, I'm there, and we're starting to, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm starting to realize this is the better situation. This is exactly what you want. You got, because now I'm not lying on forms. I'm not going through the government. Everything is perfect. The recruiter's lying to me, though. He's got, you know, he's giving me the spiel about one of the things he kept telling me about a company, TMC. And I had never heard of TMC. And the TMC stands for the Military Corps. Was one of the worst companies that you could ever work for. If you're a person like me, if you're not a person, if you're a military person, you should definitely work for TMC. If you're not a military person, you should definitely not work for TMC. They're pretty disciplined. They do inspections literally on the road. A DOT safety person can walk up on you and off the road, when you're sitting at home, I mean, not off the road, but if you at a truck stop, they could walk up to you and inspect your truck. I mean, this is, it's military, okay? So anyway, he's giving me a spiel about how this, they got video games in the back of that truck, and then he shows me this low load of pipes, and he's like, oh, TMC, you go to TMC, man, it's guaranteed, all this money is flatbed, and you see this low level of pipes. Now, these pipes he was showing me had to be 3 feet tall. No, wait. 3 feet tall, maybe 3 feet tall, right? And it's showing this guy tarping in this magazine. It's like, oh, look how small that tarp is. I mean, this dude is laying this on thick. If you go work for any flatbed company, your loads could be 3 feet tall or 13 feet tall. Okay, you could literally get an oversized load. It depends on where you go and what you do, but there's no guarantee you're going to have this easy tarping load. I always tell guys, if you want to do flatbed, drive by some places that do flatbed, like Home Depot at night or like early in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, and you will see dudes untarping at places like Home Depot or other places, or just taking their straps off. Sometimes they have to get up there. Okay, they have to get up on that tall load of roofing or whatever, and that is some feet off the ground, brother. Some feet off the ground. So, anyway, after his spiel, and I go to, you know, the we'll skip the spiel anymore of that, and I started to see he was completely full of shit, and his simulator is broke. I'm starting to wonder, did I make a big mistake? But luckily, it wasn't that big a mistake. I did go get my, the one good advice he did give me was that I did get my learner's permit. That was the smartest thing I ever did, because getting your learner's permit before you go to trucking school is one of the smartest things, because it actually helps you have an idea of what you're going to do instead of being completely lost, you know, because when you go from being a meat cutter to, you know, all of a sudden you want to drive a truck, it's a completely different world. And the state, you know, in Michigan, all you got to do is go into the Secretary of State, that's our DMV, and they will literally let you know, they'll give it to you, the book that will explain trucking to you, that'll give you that you can get your certifications on. And that was great. That was a lifesaver. And so anyway, I get all that stuff, you know, and I passed all that. So the first week, a lot of guys didn't do that before they got there. So I'm sitting basically with nothing to do. And we're just watching videos about safety. And at the same time, what I loved was there were recruiters coming in, and also they had driver placement. Now, I didn't even think about driver placement because I was all enthralled with the simulator. The simulator was going to save my soul. Yes, it was, boy. The simulator, right? It was going to simulate trucking. I was going to know it. But after the simulator debacle, I'm just sitting in class watching these safety videos. And every safety video back then, I don't know if it's still the same, every safety video had a Snyder or a Swift truck. Every safety video, every time you saw a truck flipped over, damaged, destroyed, it was a Snyder or it was Swift. Every single one. So I'm sitting there thinking, I am not going to Snyder and I am not going to Swift. Because every one of their trucks get towed up, apparently. You didn't see a Warner. You didn't see any other truck but a Snyder Swift. Every video, oh, safety. You know, you want to look and pay attention because of this reason. And boom, they showed a picture and it'd be Snyder just tow up under a bridge. I mean, man, them videos, too, when you used to cut meat, you know, the biggest thing you got to worry about is cutting your hand or losing a finger. When you see a truck smashed into a bridge, you'd be paying attention, man. I was memorizing them heights, 13.6. Yes, sir, 13.6. Don't go to 13.6. Because, man, it would show you trucks with the roof tore off and they'd be all smashed into bits and bits. And you'd just be sitting there going, this is a dangerous job. What the hell am I doing? I need to go get back into meat cutting because this is serious. But anyway, so I go into that. I'm deciding, okay, I'm into this, I'm doing that, and I'm listening to these recruiters. And that was probably another wake-up call. Like, the recruiters was the first time I started to get the truth. Because a lot of companies back then admitted that we're a year company. We're a two-year company. You know, I remember Steven specifically came in there, told us, hey, you come with us for a year. or 2 years. That's why you stay with us. You know, we're not going to be the highest paying company out there because you have no experience. I mean, they told us that to our face. Okay. You know, there was with those recruiters back then. Again, this is back then. And especially at the school, they were trying to really get us to see, you know, it was their nod, wink, wink, that we know you've been lied to. We know about this simulator, right? But this is not real life. And one of the reasons I ended up going to Warner was because when I was going through training, I would have such up and down days. And I'll talk about that later. But Warner was the first to do computer logs. And I know that's shocking to anybody in trucking now, but they were the first to do computer logs. And when they came in, I mean, they had the computer with them. They showed us what the Qualcomm was. I mean, it was very, very, very hands-on. And the guy let us play with the Qualcomm and everything. And we was like, damn. You know, this like, man, this is some seriously great stuff. You know, I'm impressed. And I was pretty impressed with their ability to just, you know, give us real knowledge. You know what I mean? Like giving us an idea of what is this, you know, because like when you go through the recruiter, you get this idea that you're going to do 20 years, you're going to be a big time trucker, and you're going to own all these trucks. And, you know, that's a bunch of bullshit. But when you go with the recruiters back then, from the companies that would come and speak every week and that would, you know, go through driver placement, because they would always, the guy from driver placement would always be there monitoring what they said, because there's certain legal rules that they have. Like some of our teachers, our trainers, they actually own their own trucking companies, but they can't recruit us. I think that's actually against the law in Michigan. So, you know, and the driver placement, which is why you really should go to any company because they have driver placement. That guy was like pivotal because like he could look at a student and be like, oh, this guy's having difficulty. He need to go to Warner because Warner got, you know, they got computer logs and they could focus on your driving versus going to TMC or what was one or the other? I think we didn't have a Swift recruiter and we didn't have a Snyder recruiter. We had Stevens, Warner. And because you got to remember, Stevens and Warner back then were really trying to grow. They were trying to ramp up so they could see. People think of Warner today as being this big, gigantic company. Back then, Warner was not that big. Warner was not that big back then. I mean, they were kind of, they were still new kid on the block, you know. And back then, I think C.L. Warner in 2004 might have still been running it, or one of his kids was probably running it back then. And, you know, it was way more hands-on, you know, way more, you know, you got the feeling that it was a beginning company, you know, starting up, trying to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Because it was all about, you know, investing in a company back then. Warner used to promote their company investments back then. That was huge. They would always try to tell people about the company investments. You got to remember, back in 2004, 401ks and all that stuff wasn't that big, you know. And they were really starting to push that stuff back then. But anyway, so once we started getting the recruiters, that's when you start getting an idea of what the hell you involved in. Because the recruiters were coming in. I mean, Stevens, you know, the guy's speech was just straight up. He was like, you know what? Our truck drivers don't stop at truck stops. You know, they run as hard as possible. And because at first I was like, they don't stop at truck stops. How they pee? Yes. You know, but he was basically giving us a spiel that they run really hard, you know. And I was like, yep, definitely not going to your company because I don't need to be running really hard. But he also, you know, talked about the benefits of doing refrigerated. He talked about the benefits of, you know, learning the industry, because you do learn a lot. I mean, Stevens does probably still do a lot of different types of hauling, because they used to haul back then. They were hauling medicines for pharmacies. They were hauling, you know, food. They were hauling dry van stuff. You were doing teams. Like, that's a lot of different stuff. And the thing about refrigerated too is you get a lot of knowledge when it comes to balancing loads and learning how the industry works. Now, the way you will be naive though is slow time, because refrigerated really doesn't have slow time. I mean, hey, this is a fat, sick country. So if you're doing refrigerated, there's always freight, you know. But they gave us a lot of knowledge about that. And that was really when I got the wake up call. Like, okay, I got to sacrifice a year, go with this company, be over the road. And that is that's the next part right there. Because when I was in class, oh man, some of the dudes in class were, and there was a mix. It was some black guys, some white guys, but most of these guys, like we had a guy who everything he told us was, you know, his boys hooked him up, you know, his boys paying for this, his boys, you know, they're going to look out for him, his boys, you know, him, his boys, everything. I mean, he was always chit-chattering about how his boys and how him and his boys was going to do this, and him and his boys are going to do that, and him and his boys are going to do this. And he was just everything, you know, he knew everything, you know. And then him and another guy who was Middle Eastern, which was hilarious because he kept telling the recruiters that he knew how to drive. He said, oh, no, I know how to drive. I know how to drive. I know how to do all of this. I was an assistant. I know how to do this. I know how to do this. So fast forward with the two talkers, and everybody else was pretty quiet. I mean, mostly it was like me. I was 24. One guy, the guy who couldn't shut up about him and his boys, was probably 26, 27. And the young cat who was 21, they had a problem getting him a job. Even the guy in driver placements was a little pissed off because they kept recruiting. They were a type of company that they recruited everybody. Okay, they recruited everybody and then try to put you in a job. Because remember, they don't get paid from their loan unless they get you a job. That's the way it worked with the one I had. They don't get paid for the loan unless they get you a job. So if they don't get you a job, they don't get paid. So they ended up in a bad situation. Again, this is back in the day in my specific loan situation, because everybody had different loans. They were selling you out to everybody. So that was my specific loan situation. So they were always trying to get you a job. But this young cat, he wasn't old enough. I mean, back then in trucking, if you weren't 21, unlike today, they let you get a job at 18. But if you weren't 21, you can't get a job, you know. And this is when trucking was starting to clean up. We were getting rid of the old guard, the whole I'm a truck driver and I drink. That world was dying. The whole I'm a truck driver and I'm taking black beauties to stay up. That was dying, you know. So what you ended up with was an industry that was sick and tired of that old world. So as a result, you 21 years old, they look at you as a partier. You know, you got to remember that was during the baby boomer end right there, because you had baby boomers who were, you know, using cocaine and everything in the industry. And that world was ending. You know, they were getting rid of that because lawsuits were building up. Companies wanted to be more professional. You know, it was a changing world. And as a result, he was struggling. The only company that would hire him was Warner. And back then, companies weren't hiring you unless you were at least 23. I remember that specifically. Some of them were 23. Some of them were 25. Some of them would not mess with you. The other part is my man had failed a drug test. Young cat had failed a drug test, which was not as huge back then that he failed the drug test, because drug testing was starting to become more and more important. Like I said, the old mentality was dying. But he had some serious issues, you know. And as a result, I think he had to retake his drug test. And it was funny because every one of those guys, those specific guys I remembered. Oh, we had one guy who was ex-military, which always made me laugh, because a lot of the ex-military guys, we had like three or four of them. We had one guy who was African. He was ex-military too, but he wasn't like U.S. military. I think he was some type of UN or something like that. But his wife played basketball. He and, you know, the white guy who was military, both of those dudes had driving experience. But for some reason, because it was military, or no, the African guy wasn't military. You know what? He was with, I don't know where I got that from. He wasn't military. He was with, the UN. He was with some beach crap. He was with some beach crap. I don't know where I got that from. He was with some beach crap. Anyway, he delivered Coca-Cola and Pepsi in foreign countries or some shit. Anyway, his wife and him were doing some type of thing, like online business. And at the same time, his wife played basketball back when Dumars was coaching. So they had a house, you know, as a result. But other than that, you know, he was pretty much trying to become a diesel mechanic. And he also had some other businesses where he was bringing stuff from overseas and selling it in stores and stuff. And he had a bunch of little businesses like that. And then we had, who else did we have? Let's see, we had the African guy. We had the guy who was military, though. He had driven a truck before, and he had driven a truck. But for some reason, in the U.S., it wasn't valid. He did drive in the military. I was right about that. Yeah, he drove in the military for some group. But it wasn't in his country. It was like a Caribbean, maybe it was Caribbean military. I don't know. I can't remember. He drove in the military, too, though. I think he was in some country or African country that required him to be in the military. I can't remember whether he was in the military or not. I think he was, though, because it was him, the white guy who was in the military, the fat kind of white guy who was our trainer. He was also military, and they all knew how to drive. I didn't understand why, if you've been in the military, apparently you can't, and which was hilarious because the little short white guy who was ex-military, he literally was a pilot. He was a pilot. You know, the only reason he wasn't becoming a pilot, though, for a commercial airliner, because he had just gotten out of the military, was because something about hours, apparently to be a pilot, I'm trying to remember this here, but apparently to be a pilot years ago, he had to get a certain amount of hours in a simulator, which is hilarious. But yeah, he had to do some type of hours. Either you had to simulate them or you had to be in a real pilot, like for an airliner or something like that. And it didn't start you out at $40,000 a year, because that was why he came, because of he was getting $40,000 a year, which is odd. You always think like a pilot would make at least 40 grand. But nope, he didn't. No, and I can't remember a lot about the African cat, though. I don't know where I got the idea. I think he was in some type of UN shit, because he kept telling us about how he used to deliver Coca-Cola to people in a truck, but he didn't need a license for it. So now he was getting his license, and he was already a diesel mechanic. But he wanted to get his license, so just in case his wife moved around again and went to another basketball team, he would go out and buy him a truck. That way he wouldn't be stuck, in a situation where he have to work for some people, you know, like he was doing them, because he was working in a mechanic shop he didn't like. But, yeah, that's about it. Those were the guys there. And so those guys was the truck I was in, which was just wonderful to be in a truck full of guys. Oh, yeah, and the Arab guy who had was an assistant. So, yep, those were the guys in my truck when we went out to the yard to learn our pre-trip inspection. That was the next lovely part, I guess. The pre-trip inspection is one of the most important parts of the test that you have to pass for the state of Michigan, and this is where I'm going to end it. But we would go out for about 3 or 4 days. We would go out, and we would look at the pre-trip inspection. We got a video on it, and then we went out, and we would look at the actual parts. Now, these trucks were super old, and we were in this big lot off of Michigan Avenue surrounded by trucking companies. And these lots were super, super, these trucks were super, super old. They had more than 1 million miles on them, and they were just rackety. You know, they were so loose. I mean, you would turn the wheel like you were running. You just one hand over the other, you know, you turn it to the right, you have to turn it to the left. And, you know, we would do basic maneuvers. And first you'd go in the morning, you do your pre-trip. Like I said, we did that nothing but that for a day. And then once we started driving the truck, that's when, you know, one of the Arab guy was telling me, oh, I know how to drive a truck. So they say, all right, you go in there first. And all the cats were starting to call him Habibi for some reason. It was like a little friction between him and some of the guys. Little racial friction. Yes. And they were calling him Habibi. And which was, you know, I was just sitting there like, oh, boy, here we go. Yes. Can't just go to work. You got to bring in this racial shit, don't you? You know, but anyway, they were calling him Habibi. And he jumps in the truck, starts to drive, and he does pull it up. He sets up correctly. And this is like our second day that they finally letting us get in the trucks. And he starts to back it up. And the instructor is out there. And he's a real extreme. We had this one strict guy. And he was a typical ex-military cat, but he had been a trucker, but he injured his back, and he couldn't do a long time riding anymore because his back would start hurting. So he was getting him to back up, and he starts turning to the right, and he started telling me how to do it. He's like, I know, I got this. And so he backs off, and he literally swings the truck past the cones, almost into the gate. The trainer jumps up on the truck, dives through the window, pulls the brakes, and then drags his ass out the truck. He says, "You almost hit that fence." He goes at him and goes, "Oh, that fence, you know, it was not close. It was not. Do you see the fence right there?" And they argued for a few minutes, and he basically told him he couldn't ride until the end of the day. And that's what we spent all day doing. Everybody was screwing up, backing up. It's just funny. Backing up is the art of trucking, but the reason you screw up so much on it is because it's so different than anything you've ever done. When you back up in a car, everything is fixed in one area. Plus, you're using these old trucks, and when you make a mistake in these old trucks, you got to run the wheel all the way to the right. Then you got to go back all the way to the left because they're so loose. And once you get it to the point, it's like you turn it 3 times, and then you turn it 4 times, you start to get good at it. But that's where I'll stop and go over it. So, all right, guys, truckdriver101.com. This whole idea was stolen from Jay Canal. So I'm going to bore you with more stories of my starting in trucking.